welcome to Fordcast, the Harrison Ford podcast, where we go through all of Harrison Ford's movies and talk about them.
For your listening pleasure. Hi, yep. I'm Lauren.
Hi, I'm Rachel Leishman. I did that yesterday, too. Damn.
I'm Lauren Milberger. We can say our last names. No, I just didn't know we were doing it.
We were recording Hard Body Touch today, and did the same thing, and Hannah looked at me and was like, why did you say our last name? You just did it again.
We can do whatever you want. I just want to be uniform. You got to give me a heads up.
Hi, I'm Rachel.
Hi, I'm Lauren.
There we go.
No last name, because we are invisible.
We are like Prince, Adele,
Madonna.
Madonna. I was like, who else has one name?
Cher.
Morgan.
Friedman?
You knew exactly who I was talking about.
That's
and all
true,
I had to
I
say
did.
Was Morgan.
Oprah.
Oprah.
There are a lot.
Beyonce.
Yeah, Beyonce, you're right. She technically does kind of have a last name, though, right? Knowles?
Yeah, I mean, every single person we mentioned has a last name. We just don't. You know who they are without it.
But, like, Prince doesn't go. I think the difference I feel like is, like, Prince doesn't go. Well, yeah.
The artist formerly known as.
Very much formerly known as.
Oh, boy.
Bad joke. Sorry. Let's go back to Harrison Ford. How about that? So we're excited because we are talking about at least my favorite, and I believe one of your favorites.
This is my favorite Indiana Jones.
Oh, great. Then we're on the same page. Mm-hmm. Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade.
Yep. This is that. Remember, because I have the Last Crusade shirt. And
yes.
That guy, like, was hating on me because of it.
I will post which episode that is so people can go back and listen to it.
Yeah, because that one guy, like, hated me.
So now you guys have homework after this.
Just figure out that whole
go
story.
Back, you know. So if you're just listening to the show now, you now have the Christmas holiday break to go back and catch up.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah. So what are your personal stories about Indiana Jones that you haven't yet talked of for Last Crusade?
For Last Crusade, I rewatched it as an adult. And I had sworn, like, the whole series. And I had sworn Sean Connery was in it a lot more. And then
He's
realized...
He's a good amount, though.
No. Like, the series. And then realized... Oh. No. His father is just in Last Crusade.
That's interesting. Well, he's...
Also, I dig River Phoenix as...
He's really good. And
I love River Phoenix. I think he's hot.
I feel like we're going to be just referring people back to other episodes. But we talked about in the Mosquito Coast episode.
We talked about River.
We talked about River and that he was really brought on because Harrison recommended him because he played his son in Mosquito Coast.
Yeah, well, I've been making fun of the Phoenix family. Not in like a bad way, but like, so my friend and I, like I'm reading Matt and Ben for the first time ever.
Oh, you had never read it?
I never read Matt and Ben.
People don't know this is a Mindy Kaling play.
Yeah.
Although, what's the name of her friend who she wrote it with?
Brenda Withers, I believe.
Okay. I just want to give her credit. I don't want to sound like Mindy just wrote it.
No, she didn't. It's Brenda... I think it's Brenda Withers.
I will now hum during this Google break.
Yeah. Matt and Ben, yeah, it's Brenda Withers. It's Brenda Withers, but I've been making jokes about, like, ever since, like, Joaquin Phoenix and Casey Affleck, because in Matt and Ben, Ben Affleck just, like, references Casey a bunch. Like, do you remember that? Like, he says...
I haven't read it in so long, I have to say.
He calls Casey, and Matt's like, get off the phone! Like, you can't tell Casey about this.
If people aren't aware, Matt and Ben is what helped to make Mindy Kaling got her off in her career, and it was her and her friend playing
Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. And they were just like, two boys from Boston, like, hanging out.
Yeah, it's really funny.
It's really funny, and then it's like at one scene they're like talking about like what they want out of life, and Ben Affleck says he wants Casey Affleck's speech impediment to go away.
Well, I think one of the reasons you probably really like River Phoenix in the movie is that River Phoenix really idolized Harrison, and he really worked really hard. And Harrison actually was on set with him to help him with creating the part, so it was believable that he was a young version of him.
Yeah, I was just making fun of
very
the family
rare.
Names, but yeah, I love because it's River Leaf.
Well,
Leaf
is
a.k.a. Joaquin.
Yeah, we talked about this last time.
Yeah.
Leaf was a name that he gave himself because he felt bad that all of his siblings had really cool Earth-type names.
Yeah, because
Rainbow.
His sister is Summer.
Oh, and then isn't there Rainbow, too?
I have no idea. Summer is the one that was married. This all will come back. I was making
We have a
fact.
Lot to talk about.
I
know,
but it'll be quick. I was making fun of the fact because Casey Affleck's sons are named Indiana and Atticus. And his wife was, because they're divorced, was Summer Phoenix.
Who plays Jim in the new Star Trek?
Jim Kirk?
Yeah. No, not Jim Kirk. Damn it, Jim. You're right. Wrong person. Who plays the doctor? Who plays Bones?
Carl Urban.
His son's name is Indiana.
Y'all, what is with the Indianas?
No, but like, I have a feeling Carl Urban is upset, like, is a huge Harrison Ford fan.
Yeah, I am huge, like, 99% sure fan. Casey Affleck did not name his son Indiana after Indiana Jones. Or maybe, well, it was Summer Phoenix's weird way of honoring River Phoenix.
Carl Urban did name his son after after Indiana Jones.
This episode is turning into what celebrities have named kids after Harrison Ford characters.
Well, also, I think we talked about on the show, too, was Harrison is also the name of who played a Wicket on your bed.
Wicket? No, that wasn't Warwick Davis.
Warwick Davis, yes.
Was it? He played Wicket?
Widget. Wait, what's the character's name?
Wicket.
The one that's on your bed?
Yeah, it's Wicket.
Yeah, that was Warwick Davis.
I didn't know Warwick Davis played him was my thing.
You do not remember anything we talk about on these shows, do you?
I don't. Because I knew Warwick Davis played, like, a bunch of fucking characters. Like, he did in Harry Potter. He played, like, 4 different goblins.
But that was, like, his big part in Jedi.
Yeah.
So we previously talked about the show before was that he also named his son Harrison.
Yeah, he did play Wicket. I was losing my mind.
Yeah.
I think I was confused because in Harry Potter, Warwick Davis plays, like, 4 different characters.
He does, yeah. Well, that's kind of what he does now. He's also in Rogue One.
Who is he in Rogue One?
He's the little tiny, I mean, I guess that's redundant, but he's the sort of, I guess that scene's not in the movie, because in the trailer, the best way to describe him was he had this machine gun, but he's sort of this sort of big-headed creature.
No, he was in the movie! I loved all those little guys.
Yeah.
There's the one that looks like a toad, there's the one whose mouth opens up and looks like the thing from
the one that kind of has an Akbar thing going on, but, like, he's part of the sort of, you know, rag and tag rebel that they're like, we'll go help.
Do you mean the one that, like his mouth looks like the thing from The Nightmare Before Christmas and he's like, ah! When he's shooting the gun?
Yeah, that's him.
I love that guy. Guys,
hopefully this isn't spoilers. I don't think we're being very vague.
We're just gonna put in the description spoilers for Rogue One, because I have a feeling
spoilers.
I'm gonna get into Rogue One at one point or another on this episode.
I think we should save that.
I have feelings.
But I love this movie. There's so
we're gonna
much
talk about the whole movie, but at the end, I'm gonna get into Rogue One.
Okay, fine.
Because I want to talk about Diego Luna and his Han Solo ass.
I thought you wanted. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I thought you wanted to do a whole Rogue One episode, though.
We can do that later, but I want to have my, like, initial reaction.
Okay. All right.
2 days after I've seen it.
Okay, that's true. I didn't think you were gonna see it when we recorded.
No.
All right.
Which made me remember my friend texted me earlier, and all it said was Star Wars. And I haven't responded to her because I want to know her feelings.
Harrison at this point is pretty much like a big star. Like, there isn't really like a lot of big, you know, changes going on necessarily in his life.
He's set up. He is.
But he is a little more vocal after the fact that he was not a fan of Temple of Doom.
No one really is.
No, and I kind of wonder if, like, this is something that you say afterwards, like, oh, well, I never liked it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But he did. I don't think that he would go against Spielberg in this way because they're buddy-buddy. They're, like, really, really good friends. But he said that he did sort of make some of his thoughts known on set, and it was sort of taken, but, you know, sort of not really considered. And I found this great quote where he said he felt that it outpoked Poltergeist, that it was just really dark, and he was not a really big fan of it.
Interesting.
So something also going back, which I read, which I forgot to mention, was Spielberg was a little hesitant to do Indiana Jones because of trilogies and having them not being written or ready, and he wanted to be sure that there was, like, a really good arc to it. So Lucas lied to him and said, oh, yeah, I have all the treatments. Like, yeah, I have all the stories. And that was a lie. He just had one. and they also were a little unsure about Harrison wanting to do a trilogy because of his, you know, experience with the Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he gave a verbal agreement, which was, if I like the scripts, I will do it. But then again, anyone's going to say that. But he didn't sign anything, but he just sort of a gentleman's agreement that if he liked the script. So they finally had a script that he liked. He asked for 5% of the take. So he started to get some of the, you know, the box office, which was very smart considering it is, you know,
yeah,
a movie that would probably do well. And then 6 months after Temple came out in 1984, Lucas had finished an 8-page story treatment called Indiana Jones and the Monkey King.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Also an interesting fact in 1984 I found out was that video sales of Temple of Dune served 1 million and it replaced the number one video at the time, the Jane Fonda workout, which was a huge thing in the 80s. Yeah. So that's a really, really big deal.
Sorry, I got sidetracked because I was trying to figure out who played young Indiana Jones. And then I started...
In the Indiana Jones Chronicles?
Yes. And then I started looking at River Phoenix.
Sean Patrick something, right?
Flannery.
Yeah.
And I realized how many movies...
I used to have a little crush on him because I watched tons when I was a kid.
And then I realized how many movies River Phoenix ended up doing. And like, damn.
Yeah, no.
Hold on.
For the short time that...
There is one that says 2012. Hold on.
Yes, I believe, and I'm not looking at your screen, but there's a movie that he didn't complete that he was filming when he died.
Called Dark Blood?
Probably. I don't know.
Because this was released in 2012.
So they may have been able to reconstruct the film because of certain, you know...
Capabilities
now? I don't know. And I'm not looking at your computer, so I don't know if that's the movie, but...
I think it is. It says everything else was 1993 and then 2012.
Yeah. It could also be, like, archival footage sometimes in movies. It'd be odd.
There is one that says archive footage. Let me see.
But I don't know.
Oh, no. His archive footage thing is, like, super long.
So this script went into a lot of really, I think, interesting and funny renditions. One that was also written by Chris Columbus, who I'm sure you are a fan of. Yeah, I was shocked.
First Harry Potter is my boy.
He also wrote Gremlins, which I didn't realize, and Goonies. I felt ridiculous.
Goonies!
One of my favorite movies as a kid as well, because I feel like it's not known very well, is The Young Sherlock Holmes, which is a really awesome movie.
I thought you were going to say Goonies. I was like, no, Lauren, I don't want to break your heart, but The Goonies is very well known.
Lauren. I had the album, actually.
The Goonies?
Yes, which my brother stole and framed in his house.
Oh, I used to make fun of the... Well, this ties into Indiana Jones. The kid is like, it's 007, not 00 native. It was my favorite part as a kid. I loved that guy.
But no, the Young Sherlock Holmes, which was the first time that I remember having sort of a Marvel-like ending where, like, after the credits, there was, like, this little teaser thing at the end.
Uh-huh.
And it's also known for being the first sort of, like, CGI kind of, like, character that came out of the stained glass. He also directed Adventures in Babysitting in 87, which I think you would love, which is why I'm mentioning it. And then, of course, Home Alone, which he didn't write, which is odd. So he sort of became more of like a director. But a lot of the ideas they took from the original story meeting, and Lucas kept trying to connect the Grail to a castle in Scotland, which is sort of interesting considering who eventually ended up playing the dad with Sean Connery. But he really wanted to connect like ghosts in a way, which I think would have been too much, a little too... Because there's always that level of like... He's not a believer in Indiana Jones, but then he learns to believe, but then he goes back to being a skeptic. I feel like if he found out ghosts were real, it'd be too...
I mean, he found out aliens were real.
That's true. We'll get to that later. And in fact, going back to the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, which we will talk about more in later episodes and also probably later on, was inspired by having a young Indiana Jones in this movie. There's an episode that Harrison Ford is in. And on set, I found out from reading this book, where I did most of my research for this episode, Lucas was like, I have this idea for a new one. Would you want to do another Indiana Jones? And this is the 90s. Like,
so 90s. He would have been like, prime Indiana still?
And he's like, yeah, I would. And he goes, aliens. And Harrison goes, I don't want to do it.
Hello, Harrison Ford. You know what you should have done at that point? Stuck to your guns.
I know. So when we get to the movie, we'll have to see like what made him decide to change his
money.
mind.
Money. I can tell you right now.
Yeah,
it's money. Harrison Ford, if you put money in front of a man, he's like a little mouse. And he comes and he sniffs it out and he's like, cool, I will take this money, make this shitty movie, and make my fans watch it.
But wait. I feel like this is sort of an older though. I feel like he's like in like saving money for my retirement because for all of my kids. Like, I feel like this is, money is sort of a new thing in his life. Like, the third act, he's just like, I'm gonna retire and just make a lot of money.
Why do you think he did as many Star Wars as he did? That man would have done one if it hadn't made money. He would have just been like, I'm not making these indie pictures.
Indie pictures did he make?
No, I'm making a joke about Star Wars.
Okay.
And then it went crazy and he made a bunch of money and he's like, I'll keep being Han. Because he wanted Han dead. But Han didn't die, and any other respectable actor who wanted their character dead would have been like, I'm dead. But
But we talked about that. Like, the only real reason that he wanted that was because when he eventually got the script, he felt like his character didn't do anything.
He still did it, which means he wanted the money.
By that time, he'd already agreed to do it.
Harrison Ford just loves money.
All right. I think at this time that he just wanted his character to have an arc, and I think that came later. But that we can agree to disagree.
Like, this man loves him some moolah.
So some things that were in this original draft that were still, you know, eventually became were the boat chase, a female archaeologist, a package sent to a college, and they really wanted to bring everyone back, like Marcus and, what's John Reese, his character's, how do you say his name? What's his name? I always forget that character's name. You know, his friend.
College or at the university?
His Arab friend. Salah. From Raiders.
Did you figure it out?
S-A-L-L-A-H.
He's Salah, also in this movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that they wanted to bring a lot of people back from Raiders, like him, like Marcus Brody, to sort of give that feel because they sort of had missed it. There's a fight in a German tank, and obviously the possibility of eternal life because they really wanted to sort of connect the Grail to this. There was a zoologist, though, was really sort of the main love interest. She was like a Katharine Hepburn type. And that sort of was added with the Chris Columbus draft. I can kind of see why they decided not to go with the Chris Columbus draft and kind of let him go. Not that I've read it, but from what I've read, it's a lot of Harrison sleeping with his students. And it sounds like this sort of like, you know, old joke where this student gets mad at him and is like, you know, I can't believe you slept with me, but my mother, which is like an old joke, but it just makes him seem like this lecherous guy who's taking advantage of all of his students.
Yeah, I love it.
And then one of the students, not the one that who gets mad that he slept with her mother, like stoles away with them. So that's another of his students who's in love with him. And yeah, it's cute, like in those few scenes, but to find out he took advantage of that, I kind of don't really see that. But the stowaway student was gone by the second draft. And then they brought in 1986, they brought in Menno Meiges. Is that, how do you have to say his name? I know, who knows? Meyjes, who wrote The Color Purple, who was uncredited on Empire of the Sun, which is a movie that we love. And a nun falls for Indiana Jones.
I mean, I get that, but also, like, no.
Yeah, it's a little weird. And Elsa was in it, but her name was Greta.
Elsa?
Elsa.
Like, let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore.
That's Allison Duty's character's name.
I'm being... Oh, my
God. Oh, okay. It's a joke. Obviously, like, you just sound so surprised. You're a wonderful actress. In March 1987, Steven and Lucas brought a lot of their ideas together, including which was bringing in the father character, which was a really big thing that Steven really wanted to bring in. And because what they didn't know was that he secretly wanted it to be Sean Connery. He just didn't tell them. Harrison loved the idea. By 1988, Young Indy was added, which Steven, excuse me, I was like, not Harrison, was a little unsure about at first. And then,
I loved it because it gave us the explanation of the chin scar.
That was so creative. Let's talk about that.
That's one of my favorite things about this movie is that it gives you the explanation of his chin scar.
I thought that was such a creative thing to do, and it was so believable for me that I had, for some reason, for a very long time, thought that was how we really got it.
Like filming Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that he had like been practicing with the whip, and maybe that became like a folklore story. But like for years, I really thought, maybe even till recently, till I was doing the show, like I really thought that was how he got it.
No, I love that because the thing is, like in Working Girl, like yeah, it's a funny story, and like I like when they address the fact that he's a chin scar.
Mm-hmm.
But this, like, it doesn't like address it. Like no other part of the movie series mm-hmm. is some girl or someone go, "Ooh, where'd you get this?" It literally is just like an explanation that has no, like, prior intrigue into it. Like, mm-hmm. no one talks about it. And it just shows us how he got the chin scar and, like, that's it.
Also, it makes sense that if this is a story really at the core about father and son, to start off with an adventure where you see what he was like as a kid
mm-hmm.
and how that connects to... Because you also, a big part of that scene, I think, is when he does come to his father. And you're like, oh, I see this relationship now. I get this. And Sean Connery, who is, I think, just unbelievable in this film. In fact, Spielberg thought he should have an Oscar nomination for it. Added a lot to the character. It was very thin on paper. It was more sort of an Obi-Wan Kenobi type. Spielberg had sort of a, Lucas, excuse me, had imagined it to be like a very like eccentric sort of very British kind of character. And again,
so then they get Scottish actor Sean.
I know, but I get what they're, you know, sort of what they're saying. He was very Victorian. He was definitely a very, you know, he slaps him when he's blasphemous. You know, he's a very Victorian kind of character. But what I love is that, Lucas really hated the idea because he said, that's James Bond. No one's ever going to think of him as anything but James Bond. And again, Lucas can't have this imagination for other actors who become iconic in other roles. It's, considering he has such a vivid imagination, it's kind of weird and interesting.
No, yeah, like he is so...
He needs to be convinced when someone else is already iconic to be, oh, that's Indiana Jones. That's Han Solo. He can't be Indiana Jones. And so he did the same thing with James Bond, yeah. So Sean Connery's sort of big, you know, addition to it was he felt that, you know, he's like, I've done everything at James Bond. Like, that's who I've been. So this needs to be a one-upmanship. Like, if I do something, you know, if he does something, I need to do it better. If he sleeps with the girl, I need to sleep with the girl. but I think that might have also been part of him being like, I'm not the old man.
Yeah, because he's not much older than Harrison Ford.
That's the thing, too, is, like, even though they got along really well and they felt it was a really great choice, Harrison was like, he's 12 years older than me. That seems impossible. And so both of them were a little sort of unsure. I'm sure there was a little vanity in there. Harrison, though, said that he realized that he was playing younger, though, so it did probably work. And they do make
Harrison
him look
Ford
older.
Harrison also just looks... like, young.
He does, yeah.
Throughout most of his career, he's, like, in his 50s, and he looks maybe 35, 40.
So they had to sort of flesh out the relationship because he felt that it was just a little bit too one-noted. And so a lot of that was added, and Harrison really liked it. He said that Sean is a great student of history, so he brought a lot to incorporate into the character. He ended up being less Yoda and more of a match for Indy, which I think is what really makes it great. You see, like, yeah, this is definitely, you know, his son. Also, the idea to tie them up back to back was totally Sean Connery's idea. He ad-libbed the line, she talks in her sleep, and apparently the whole crew and all the actors fell over laughing, and they had to reshoot it, and they're like, well, that's definitely staying in.
Those stories always make me feel weird.
What, ad-libs?
Not ad-libs. Like, ad-libs are fine, but it's when the whole cast crew is like, oh, you're so funny, I'm going to keep it in the script.
Oh, I gotcha,
when it's
yeah.
not a comedy. Like, if it was a comedy, that's a whole different story, because that's, like, basically how many comedies are made, or, like, the actor's just kind of screwing around. But, like, when it's, like, someone like Sean Connery being like, oh, she talks in her sleep.
But the thing here's the thing about that line. It's funny. And it gives you an explanation. Like, it gives
it's
character.
Great, but I think it's just those stories, I'm always like, ugh. It was probably he said it, and but they were like, well, we gotta really laugh.
That's true. Worked, who knows though? If it was real. Like, it is funny. And then it was Harrison's idea to say, I was the next man. That was his ad lib. He goes, you know, I'm... it was also Harrison's idea to pose as the flight attendant and throw him out the window or something. And they all were like, it was dumb, but it was funny, and so we decided to do it.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I think it's a really funny moment.
I mean, it is funny. That's the thing, is sometimes they're genuinely funny, but just the idea of a whole crew being like, ha, 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 over, like, an older actor
well,
who's,
this
like,
was,
well-known saying something, I'm like, oh,
this story was told by Julian Glover, who played Donovan.
Yes.
Who, I was shocked, is British.
Why were you shocked?
I thought he was American. His accent is pretty good to me.
Oh, this is a different, never mind. You know his picture? Because I couldn't remember what he looked like, and I clicked on him.
Mm-hmm.
His picture on IMDb from afar looks like the guy that's in the Haunted Mansion, who's like a very famous actor.
Oh, well, he might have been. He was also.
I think the guy I'm thinking of.
Julian Glover is also in Empire Strikes Back. He plays one of the Empire, like, you know, commanders or something.
I want to see how wrong of a person I am, because I think the man I'm thinking of is famous.
Well, will you look for that? I also would like to mention that apparently during the Zeppelin scene, because it was in Spain, it was really hot. Harrison Ford and Sean Connery are not wearing any pants.
Oh, Jesus.
Sean took his pants off first because they were just doing shots from the waist up and they're sitting down near at the table. And so Harrison was like, well, I'm going to do it too.
Oh,
so,
he's in Star Wars.
Just, Empire, yeah.
No. Different guy.
Oh, different guy. Oh, okay. So I just want all of you to know while you're watching that scene that they are pantsless.
No, that's why Naomi's
Jenner. Oh, I didn't talk about my personal memories of this movie because I have them.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I thought I was convinced this man was Terrence Stamp.
Oh, that's someone completely different.
Yes. Who then I thought Terrence... Let me show you who I thought Terrence Stamp then was.
Oh, the movie Haunted Mansion. I thought you meant the actual ride, the Haunted Mansion.
No. Then I thought he was Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, my God. This is going to become a huge game of
A Clockwork Orange.
They look nothing alike.
From afar, this guy's picture looks like him, who I thought was him. And, whoo, guys, this was a ride.
That was a whirlwind of actors.
Yeah.
So this is the first Indiana Jones movie that I saw in the theater. And having grown up watching them, you know, so much and not probably understanding that I could see one in the theater or they would ever make another one. I have such a vivid memory of it was a very small movie theater near my town and they made everybody like stay by the concession stand. But like, you know, they like carted us like, I felt like a cow in like a pen. Like we were all up against each other, which was crazy because I was like, no one can really buy anything at the concession stand, but there was no room. And we had to wait for the other time to get out so we could get in. And so before I even saw the movie, I bought a poster, which is I've talked about on the show, which was above my bed with Kathleen Kennedy's name, like right at my head. And I bought like a really big soda just so I could get like, it was like the map on it. And then you could like peel off a thing and like win something. I probably wanted it because I thought I would win something, which I didn't. I remember just sort of like holding my big glass of soda and my poster, and I hadn't even seen the movie yet. And then I also realized recently was around that time my family took us to Universal Studios in Florida, and I bought an 8x10 from the movie, and I think it used to sit by my bed.
Oh boy.
But like not, I think I was too young to think of it like, oh, I'm mooning. I think there was just room near my bed.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking that Allison Duty's name was funny.
You were a child.
I was a child. But here's the thing. I assumed that she was German and that in translation, like she didn't realize what the name meant. So like she didn't change her name, but she's Irish. Why would you not change your name? I mean, I guess in the UK they say poo, they don't say duty, so maybe like that's the translation
also,
issue.
Also, most adults are adults.
I know that, but I don't know. I would change my name. I mean, John Lipschitz, right? Isn't that John Stewart's name?
I don't know.
I think it's Lipschitz, but there's definitely a famous Jew whose name is Lipschitz, and they changed it because. No, maybe it's not Lipschitz, but there's a famous Jew whose last name was Lipschitz and they changed it. Because your name is Lipschitz. Mm-hmm. Oh, bless you.
That's why I put my finger up because I was like, I'm going to sneeze.
She put her finger up and I thought, oh, Rachel wants to say something.
No, I want to sneeze.
and I also forgot to mention that we had talked about previously that the amazing Tom Stoppard was, who apparently took the name Barry Watson. He took a fake name, didn't realize that, as a script doctor, was brought in by Sean Connery because he wanted to really punch up the lines. But he also added things like when he asked Indy to count in Greek, the Panama hat guy was added. He changed Donovan's name to Donovan. Elsa became Elsa. Oh, and in the original draft before Stoppard came in, it was Elsa who shoots Indy Sr., to get Indy to go into the, to get the Grail, which is an interesting change because that definitely would make Elsa a completely different character. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, it makes it more interesting that she does care about them, even though she is doing
evil.
What she's doing. Yeah, she's very, very evil.
She is a Nazi.
She's apparently based on characters in, like, Alan Ladd movies. That's sort of, you know, cool.
Also based on blonde characters in 2016 America.
Oh, you're talking about the Nazis? Mm-hmm. Nazis have actually always been here. It's not a new phenomenon.
I mean, they're just Heil and Hitler out there in daylight nowadays.
One of the actors that I always really liked in it is the guy who plays Kazim, the head of the Brotherhood.
Oh, the big mustache.
He just had this sort of real, he's British, he's Armenian, but he's British. And he was in Midnight Express, which I have not seen, but I know is a really amazing movie. But he was supposed to audition for Salah, but he got caught in traffic.
Oh, well, I mean, he made it into Indiana.
He did, and he's apparently also in the Indiana Jones Chronicles. I looked up. I don't know if it's the same character. It's this Armenian guy. But he just has this charisma, and he's, like, so interesting, and, like...
Is the guy who plays Salah, isn't he white?
Oh, I don't know.
I looked him up.
He might be, because for years I thought Alfred...
just white.
For years I thought Alfred Molina, like, was white. But he's not, so it's hard to know sometimes with Brits. I thought he was like Catherine Zeta-Jones, where he just played a lot of ethnic characters, but he was probably just really from, you know, an area of the UK.
He's, hold on.
I thought he was.
Oh, no.
Is he really ethnic?
No. I don't believe so.
I think you're probably right, because I feel like that was, this particular time, I mean, this is 1988, was filmed in 1988, came out in 1989. It was not necessarily a time where...
The biggest Welsh movies in Hollywood.
Well, we were looking that up. I'll start talking about Harrison Ford's exercise routine.
Yeah.
He worked with...
Definitely believe he's a white dude.
If you look in the wiki, it should probably say... Is he Welsh?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that was what I thought. I assumed that Alfred Molina was Welsh and that he was pretending, and it was the other way around. He's half Italian and half Spanish.
He played Gimli.
Because Catherine Zeta-Jones is also Welsh, and she plays a lot of ethnic characters, even though she's not.
Yeah.
This is what you learn on the show, right?
That's what you learn. White people suck.
Pretty much.
Okay, continue.
Yeah. So because of his back, he had to really, you know, get into shape, you know, a little extra. He did work with Body by Jake again. But he set up a gym at his house in Jackson Hole. He played a lot of tennis. In fact, he said he'd rather, like, do something like tennis because he feels like it's, I guess, like more of an action than going to a gym. But this is what I found out from one of the books that I'm using for research. So he'd wake up at, like, 6 or 6:30 a.m., he would do 100 bench presses with 115-pound weights, 100 leg extensions with 70-pound weights, 100 squats with 100-pound weights, 200 assorted arms, upper body, and back exercises with 15 to 25-pound weights, 100 gridiron squat thrusts, and up to 4,000 sit-ups.
Oh, boy.
Ow.
You did real great with that.
Thank you. This was just in the book. Like, I didn't look it up.
I'm making fun of the fact that you tried to rip it off.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
And it stayed stapled.
I did. I don't know if anyone heard that, but I put it up to the mic and tried to pull off this sheet because I get very excited when I can throw these papers away like I'm David Letterman. Oh, sorry. I just threw that in the box. I also have no aim because I suck at sports.
She threw it and it went straight into a box.
Did you a box? Oh, guys, don't you wish that this was video? Oh,
no, because I am in my sad white boy sweatshirt.
Yeah, well.
That's what I could call this.
Funny enough, we are recording this on Steven Spielberg's 70th birthday.
We are.
Had no idea when we scheduled this. In fact, we were also supposed to accidentally record Working Girl, although it didn't work out. 2 years to the day that Mike Nichols died. So that's a little creepy.
Yeah, a little bit.
So what do you think the MacGuffin is? Because some people say that the MacGuffin is the diary, and some people say that it's actually the Grail.
Remind me again what a MacGuffin is, because I forgot already.
I don't have my sheet, but pretty much the MacGuffin is something that is being sought after, but isn't necessarily like the main part of the plot.
Oh, then it's and definitely then, the diary.
I agree. And then gets forgotten for, you know, something else.
Yeah, but, so the Grail, that would make no sense if it was the Grail. I agree. All they're fucking going for is the Grail.
I agree. And I was reading this thing that said it was the Grail, and I was like, no, it's the diary, because that's the main focus of what they're looking for. Is, and then eventually it gets forgotten because they have this other thing that they're doing. I mean, the main thing in the movie is this relationship between the father and son, which is so great and so funny, and there's an arc to it, and you find two people who really do love each other, but just were speaking a different language.
And we're also, we have to talk about my favorite part of this whole movie.
What's your favorite part?
When they're on the, with the plane.
Oh, the plane is great.
When their plane is like spinning around and they're like fighting each other the entire time.
I love the fact that Henry Jones Sr.
Also the horseback riding shit too, but
that's pretty
definitely
good.
The plane.
But when he accidentally like, fires the gun into their own plane, and he's like, "I'm sorry, son, they've got us." Like, it's just, it's such a great thing, and that's something that I really love about the Indiana Jones series as a whole. Something that Harrison, I think, also wanted too, was that they're fallible, that they make mistakes, and that as he says when he's looking for his father at the beginning, when they find the house ransacked, he's like, he's not someone who's in the field. Like, he knows that his dad is not equipped to go through the same situations that he goes through. Not to mention, you know, it sounds like his father doesn't even know that this is the kind of stuff that he does. You know, like, this is like, which I love because it also adds to sort of that secret identity that, like, Indiana and Henry Jr. are kind of like two different people in a way.
Yeah.
But I kind of love that stuff that, like, yeah, you wouldn't be very good at this.
Yeah.
Like, there's a really great British show called The Wrong Mans, which is a show that James Corden wrote. And I love it because it's, like, two guys that are stuck in this sort of Bourne movie. And it's like, you wouldn't be very good. We're just regular people.
That's what's great about Henry is he's just a regular dude who, like, his son is extraordinary, but he just ends up getting kind of stuck.
Yeah, but he also is, like, really smart. Like, he figured out that Elsa was a Nazi pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, still he's intelligent.
But still slept with her. Because, well, you know, she is beautiful. Although, it's funny because I feel like when I was a kid watching it, when it's referenced, you know, when he says she talks in her sleep, it was like, ew, he's old. And then now I'm like, yeah, I'd do it.
Ew, he's old.
He's charming. I mean, if I had a choice, I'm not saying I want to bang Sean Connery in this movie. I'm just saying that it doesn't feel gross. It's like, oh, yeah, he's a young guy. I could see why she would do it. He's not, I mean, listen, Harrison Ford is 74.
Yeah.
And you would still bang him.
Probably.
Yeah.
I like them old. Even if they have a baby face, they're probably still in their 40s.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny that, like, I had a thing where I was like, oh, that's not gross to me now.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not saying I would jump him. I'm just like, oh, it's not gross.
I mean, I say that when the youngest one I have had a crush on as of recently, it was Chris Pine, who's 35.
Yeah, that's not. No, I'm talking like, we'll see. How old was Sean Connery in this movie? I guess he was in his, look it up.
So I was looking up the plane fight, but let me see.
Yeah. So interesting enough is that the guy who played the knight, that was his first film. He'd done TV and he'd done stage, and he apparently kept asking, like, am I doing okay? Like, is this okay? Because it was like his first movie. I think he's so wonderful at it.
Let's see.
1930 also something that Harrison Ford said about his working relationship with Spielberg was, he and I have a process that doesn't involve arguing. It's as if our brains are built to run very
he
well as a
team. He was 59. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut that off.
That's okay. So he was 59? Yeah, that's nothing. That's Carrie Fisher.
Carrie!
I mean, she's 60 now, but still. But yeah, like that's... Now, as a tiny kid, that feels old. But like now, it's like, oh, that's nothing.
Yeah, because you're getting closer and closer to 59.
Oh, me? Yeah.
I'm still down there. I'm the baby.
Rachel just thinks I'm old.
I'm only 21.
So you're like, what? You're like 60, right, Lauren?
Yeah. Lauren, you're what? 65?
Yeah, I'm 60. Well, in my head.
Okay.
I came out of the womb 65.
I'm going to look on IMDb.
You should. Okay. What else do we got here? Oh, something I...
1,000
can't believe that I learned, thanks to this movie, seagulls can't be trained.
Really?
Yes. they can't be trained. So it's white, when they flew, they're white doves and, or they're fake mixed in with seagulls. But when he, when Henry comes with the umbrella, they're actually doves. Also, those are all rats. They are not CGI. They are real rats. And, if you want to have that many rats in a movie, you apparently have to breed them from birth so they don't have diseases, which makes tons of sense. Uh-huh. Harrison had no problem with rats.
Guys, Lauren's birthday is nowhere.
Oh, you, I was looking up how old I am?
Yeah, I IMDb'd it. That's, and then I went to your Facebook.
On purpose. My age is nowhere.
I looked everywhere.
I'm an actress.
I'll wait till I'm like 35 and then get rid of it. Right now I'm 25. I'm like, you can think I'm 25.
35. That's pretty good considering that the Carrie Fisher catastrophe panel that I went to, they said that in Hollywood actresses are washed up at 28.
I got 3 years. Woo! I gotta get on it.
No, my age is a mystery that I will keep like my virtue.
Oh, Jesus. Continue.
Or my favorite is, I reveal my age much like, I'm going to mess it up, but I used to have this funny take on this Emily Post thing about being a lady, was that a lady doesn't reveal her age or her underwear on purpose. Which is funny, right? Women laugh, men go.
It is.
Men always ask me, they go, I don't know what that means. And then I say, if I'm going to show you my underwear, it's going to be on purpose.
And I'm gonna be like, these are my undies.
But I find it funny that like men don't get it. And women go, oh, I get it. Men are like, I understand. I don't get it. Hopefully that is not people out there. And I hope that everyone thought that that was adorable. But anyway, back to Harrison Ford.
You're so funny.
I'm really not, as you have pointed out to me. Rachel doesn't think I'm funny, but she'll steal my jokes.
I steal jokes.
Yeah, she'll steal. She'll tell me I'm not funny and then she'll steal my joke.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so something also I think which is interesting is that, so the fire was real, because again, we're at a point where we can't do CGI fire.
True, it's too early.
The plank is pretty good CGI, I think, you know, but that's about as, and even when they're in the plane, you can see, you're like, oh, that green screen is just not as good as it is right now.
No.
They were sort of still figuring things out, and they were using miniatures, you know, in between some of the things. Yeah. Whereas now, you wouldn't have to actually, like, be there with fire. Allison Duty talked about that she... I'll see, you did it!
I'm a child.
Okay. She just laughed. Some of the wax from the candle when they're underneath the church library got on her hand, and Harrison... She didn't see it, and Harrison saw it, and he quickly took her hand and, like, put it in the water really quickly, but she still got a scar.
Interesting.
Can we talk about that church, though? Because that scene is not just fantastic. X marks a spot, which is great, and to see how he figures it out. Mm-hmm. But it's so beautiful. That church is gorgeous. And every time I'm in, like, my brother got married in this really awesome library in Baltimore, and
yeah.
My cousin and I walked in, and we're like, it's like the library at Indiana Jones. Like, it's just, it's so gorgeous with the stained glass. I think it's a set, actually. I don't know. The outside is definitely not a set, but I just realized I think it might be a set inside.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Particularly if they're going to break the...
Yeah, they're going to break shit. Yeah. I'm like 99% sure.
But it's got some really funny parts. Like when the librarian is hitting the marker on the book every time he hits it. Like, a lot of people talked about there was a lot of sort of, you know, you humor in it.
Yeah, there is, definitely. Yeah.
But Harrison has no problem with rats. In fact, when he was a Boy Scout, he was a Boy Scout counselor. He worked at a camp. He had, like, rats as, like, pets.
Ew.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Also at this time, Elstree Studios, which is a big part of Harrison Ford's career, Star Wars was filmed there. He filmed Hanover Street there. For most of the late 70s, he spent most of his time there. He sort of joked, you know, there was probably like a wing named after him. Was crumbling and falling apart, and they were filming there, and they were going to shut it down. And Steven Spielberg actually was like, you know, jettisoned away in a car one day after, you know, filming to go to Parliament and speak on its behalf. But unfortunately, they did close it. There is a studio still called Elstree, but it is not the same one.
Interesting.
And now the Star Wars and a lot of, like, Harry Potter film at... oh, my God, it just went out of my head.
As soon as you wood. Remember it... What?
Wood.
Yeah, there's something
with it. It's out of my head because I'm exhausted today. But then again, that seems to always be my answer. I'm sorry, guys. I'm really tired. Will you look for it? Vic Armstrong was, again, his stuntman on this. He tried to, you know, stop him from doing a lot of his own stunts, considering with, you know, the back injury.
I don't think it has anything to do with Wood, because now you threw me off.
Maybe I'm wrong. Everyone's like, the people from UK are yelling at me right now.
Leavesden.
No, that's not it.
That's where Harry Potter was filmed, was Leavesden Studio.
But that's not where the like, there's like a tour.
Yeah, and Leavesden.
Put in Star Wars then. It's funny, a lot of times I don't write things down because I go, I'm going to remember this, and then I don't. But Vic Armstrong particularly did one of the biggest stunts, which was jumping from the horse onto the tank, which is such an awesome scene. And they kind of choreographed the tank scene kind of the day of, which Spielberg really loved. Like, they sort of like did it on the fly, which is really interesting. And it was voted by Sky Movie viewers in the UK in 2002 as like one of the 10 best stunts of all time. And Armstrong said about Harrison that he's very strong and he has a lot of determination and doesn't quit, which I think could also, like, not just describe the way he does stunts, but obviously also just describes the way he, like, goes after life. Oh, and someone emailed and they felt that in some of the past episodes that we'd sort of downplayed what good friends he was with Vic. And I just want to, like, let people know that he's really good friends with Vic. And I realized, I think, one of the reasons maybe why I didn't mention it as much was we talked about it more on Beltway Banthas.
We did, yes.
Yeah. So if people want to go and listen to our Harrison Ford episode with the podcast Beltway Banthas, we talk a little bit more about his relationship with Vic and his relationship with people on set and in general and what you know, he doesn't really fake that. Something also I think you would like. I know there's a gif out there of Harrison stapling the hat on his head.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't know what it was. Well, first of all, he's making fun of the fact that they always, if the hat fell off, they'd have to redo it. Because the joke was that it never fell off his head.
Yeah.
Until, like, the one time it does, then it blows back. So that was a joke, but it's...
Sorry, I have the thing.
Oh, you do? Okay.
4-7 isn't on here. But for every other one...
No, the new one.
It's not on here. I just said that.
Force Awakens?
Yes. There's no 7.
Oh, that's so weird. Oh, well. It'll bug me. I'll put it on the Twitter. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So that scene of him behind the scenes is actually from a teaser they put out with some really awesome behind-the-scenes shots to get people excited about it because they didn't really have any footage.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, he's wearing an NBC hat, so I wonder if it was, like, for Dateline, you know, like, probably behind the scenes of this thing, you know. But that was just him being funny that he had to staple it on, although he did say a good sweat can keep the hat on. And I did actually talk to one of our listeners who is an archaeologist, if she had anything to add. This is her favorite as well. And she said that the hat really isn't, like, an odd choice because the biggest, you know, issue with archaeologists is the sun. Which makes sense, yeah.
Yes.
So what else haven't we talked about? I mean, the thing that I just love about this movie is that, and Raiders is still a great movie. It's so well executed. The structure is amazing. But the reason I think I love this movie, other than it being the first one I saw in theaters, is that it's funny. It's a great story. I always love, you know, familia, family, you know, relationships.
Yeah.
Or even just like best friends that feel like family. And there's such a great bond and chemistry between Sean Connery. In fact, Spielberg said that he felt like Indiana Jones was in the same sort of vein as James Bond. In fact, what we didn't talk about, which I figured out after the fact, is that the white suit with the red sort of flower in the beginning of Temple of Doom is an exact replica of a Sean Connery James Bond outfit.
Interesting.
So they were already trying to, like, set him up like that.
Like James Bond.
Yeah. So who else is to sort of play him? But and bringing back all the original people, there's so much more character. There's so much more relationships going on, mm-hmm. as well as the mystery, which is really interesting. And something that I read that I didn't even realize was that someone involved in the production said that
Pinewood Studios.
Pinewood! It is a wood! Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Rogue One was filmed there, Doctor Strange, Assassin's Creed, Force Awakens, this eighth one, The Dark Knight, Deathly Hallows.
Because yeah. Pinewood was always the one that I had heard of, and I assumed...
Kingsman, Goblet of Fire...
I had assumed that Elstree had been Pinewood for years until I was doing research on the show, and I was like, oh, that's a different name. It's not Pinewood. So there was more than one studio.
I want to tie it back to what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah, what?
A Clockwork Orange was filmed there.
That makes sense. That makes sense, too. Allison Duty was 21 when she made the movie. Yeah, she had been a Bond girl. That's surprising. She looks so much older to me. And... they were originally looking for a 29-year-old Austrian brunette. So she was sort of surprised when she got it. But she looks so German. I was so shocked that she was Irish. I really thought that she was really German. Or like, you know, something like that.
But she's not.
She is not. I mean, this is just such, like, I have it on my bio on the website. It is my favorite Harrison Ford movie. It's just so well put together. And I always appreciate humor. Like, Raiders has some humor,
yeah,
but I feel like this has a lot more comedy in it.
It does, definitely.
I mean, when he literally looks at the camera and goes, oh, Venice.
Oh,
also something that I noticed. I feel like this happened a lot in 80s movies, though. Like, I forgot to talk about last time how many crotch jokes there are. Or not at I can't speak.
Crotch
jokes. In this movie with like the rhino like coming up, things like that, which I feel like happened. There were a lot of jokes like that in the 80s, particularly like movies directed and written by men. Watching Temple of Doom as an adult, there was so much sexual innuendo I didn't notice. And there's a castration joke. There's totally a reference or implying to... that if Indiana Jones had not gotten out of a situation in time, that this tribe would have castrated him. And I was like, that went totally over my head when I was a kid. And so when I'm watching the movie and then the rhino like almost like goes right between their legs, I was like, this feels like some sort of like running joke. But I also just feel like in the 80s, I don't know.
Yeah.
They did a lot of stuff like that. Also, I'd like to add that I work in a museum.
Yes.
And I have gotten lost.
In it.
So I know some people feel like that demeaned his character. I mean, it's a joke. It's like a lot of these sort of old jokes, like, you slept with my mother, you know, gets lost in his own museum. Like, it's an old sort of setup. You know, I get it. Like, they were just using it as a joke. But I kind of think it's believable. It doesn't make him an idiot.
No, not at all.
Museums are really, really big.
No, we have 8 minutes left.
Okay. So, this obviously did really well at the box office. No surprise. Peter Travers from Rolling Stone says it's Spielberg's wide-eyed enthusiasm that turns The Last Crusade into the wildest and wittiest indie of them all. Variety said it was the greatest movie for 12-year-olds, which they said was not a backhanded compliment. Like, they really meant it. It broke the single-day record, first time a movie had passed the $10 million mark. It had the best 6 days ever. Was nominated for Oscars for music, sound, and special effects. It won for editing. Sean Connery was not nominated for an Oscar, but he was nominated for a Golden Globe.
Yeah, nice.
And I was surprised it actually did really well. It got mixed reviews, though. It's so funny how, after the fact, you find out that these movies that you think were, like, really, really amazing...
didn't do so well.
Yeah, and became, I think, sort of classics, and then you look back and people were like, it was okay.
Yeah.
And but then later on they probably changed their mind. I don't know. There's a big thing to be said about retrospect. Anything else you have to add about The Last Crusade? I feel like there's more stuff I have, but I think I've gone through all my notes.
Yeah, no, I don't really.
Oh, we did talk about previously that they filmed this. The opening is Monument Valley, which is a very famous area in Utah where they filmed a lot of movies. Westworld sort of feels about films around there. And then what did I just do with it? There's a national park, too, that they film a lot of famous stuff. Oh, here it is. Arches National Park, also in Utah.
Nice.
Yeah, and they filmed this everywhere in the UK, in San Francisco, obviously in Venice, Colorado, in Spain. They really were everywhere. Texas, and some small things in Jordan. So they really, you know, went all around the world. So that's Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Nice.
I just wanted to take a small part, and some people had asked, like, how I do my research. And I think also some people online have been sending me some things from Wiki. And Wiki's great, but I don't always use Wiki because anyone can update it.
Yeah.
In fact, I went against my own thing when I was talking about Beverly Hills Cop. Someone sent me something, and I was like, oh, I guess I'm wrong. It came out in this year. It didn't come out in 84. And then I announced it, and then that was wrong. I was right the first time. It did come out in 84. but so what I try to do is I try to double source something, which is a journalistic code, you know, like if I can find like similar stuff, at least two,
yeah,
to tell a story. So I have these two biographies I've gotten out of the library. And then I previously mentioned for the Star Wars episodes, and I want to find his name, that I've been using, you know, that particular book because they're really amazing. And what's his name? And so he also wrote this amazing book called The Complete Making of Indiana Jones. So for normally I would use a couple different, you know, sources, but I used his book, which is heavily sourced. And it's The Complete Making of Indiana Jones, the definitive story behind all four films. It's a big paperback book. And it's by J.W. Riesler. I can't remember his name right here. Damn it. I will put it again on the show notes. But anyone who's been following along knows that we've been using it. I think it's... you want to look it up real quick? Because I really want to give him credit.
Say the name of the book again.
The Complete Making of Indiana Jones, the definitive story behind all four films. And I, of course, erased this guy's name. I know it's J.W., and I think it's...
J.W. Riesler.
Okay, so I was right. Riesler. J.W. Riesler. So thank you so much. His books are really amazing. You can get more information and check it out. I'll be using it again when we get to Crystal's Skull.
Yeah.
And also some Blade Runner news. Apparently, around the time that this drops on December 22nd, give or take, the trailer will drop. First, you'll be able to see it with the movie Passengers when it comes out.
Yeah.
And then supposedly maybe a week later, they're being very vague about it when it's going to be released.
So it probably will come out before or right after we post this.
Yeah. So check out for that or go see Passengers and then just leave. I'm sure it'll be a tiny teaser. I'm sure there'll be like one shot of Harrison and like Ryan Gosling and then that'll
say
be it.
Blade Runner.
Yeah. It's sort of funny now. So much stuff from the Rogue One trailer was not in the movie. Because they just put it together. And I think some things might have been sort of filmed for that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Rogue One, you want to talk about Rogue One?
I don't have to because we're going to talk about it on a whole other episode.
Okay.
By Diego Luna.
He is pretty great in it. Speaking of other episodes, we are going to be putting online a special episode for 99 cents.
Mm-hmm.
It's we are going to do commentary on the Christmas episode. The Holiday Life Day episode?
Yes.
This is not really episode. TV movie? What would you call it?
I don't know.
A special.
Dumb.
The 80s had specials. It was a holiday special. I have never seen it, and I purposely stayed away from it so that I can have a pure experience. Ugh. And you'll be able to lay that over the episode and listen to our commentary. So you can go on the website. It's 99 cents. What you would do is you would sign up for registration. We'll send you an invoice. You pay, and then we'll approve you on the website. You can log into a special part of the website and listen to the episode, and we'll probably have it up for people through February, right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see about that. So we're really excited. We're going to be recording it right after this. You can find us on social media at the Fordcast Podcast on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Tumblr. We are on Twitter at the Fordcast PC. please follow us. By following us across social media, you can learn really cool stuff. You can see really awesome pictures, and you can win prizes.
Yes, you can.
Tons of prizes. Now, if you listen to us and go on the website and answer a trivia question for every episode, you can win a bigger prize. This is the last episode in our fall contest, even though it's technically winter. Mm-hmm. We'll start the winter contest probably in the new year. We have these amazing posters for either Raiders of the Lost Ark or Blade Runner. They are designed by Rad Movie Posters on Etsy. You should check them out. They're amazing. And they're retro-inspired.
Yes, they are.
So they look like these sort of old 40s movies, which particularly for Raiders, I think.
Well, it matches.
Yeah, really, really matches. You can find me, Lauren Milberger, on Twitter at Lauren Milberger. I also write for... I was just going to say The Culturist, which is what you write for.
That's me.
That's so funny. I want to promote you so badly. Forcesofgeek.com. You could find Rachel on Culturist as well as...
Wizards and Whatnot. And you can follow my Twitter at Rachel Leishman. My Tumblr is Rach Solo. I'm on Instagram at Rachel_Leishman. I'm everywhere.
And if you want to thank us for listening to this podcast, we would love it if you would go on iTunes and leave us a review. Rate us. It really does help more people find the podcast and help us bring it out to a wider audience, which we're really trying to do.
Yeah.
You can also go on the SoundCloud and Stitcher, leave stuff there. But the thing about iTunes that makes it different is that it's sort of the algorithm is they'll see that we have a lot of reviews and then they'll start advertising us to other people for free, which is really great. And also we want to hear from you. People have been really great about sending us stuff to talk about on the show, topics, feedback. Good feedback, things you don't want to see anymore, things you want more of. We unfortunately didn't have the segment, How Did Harrison Ford Kill Himself, or Try to Kill Himself, on this one.
Yeah, but he probably did in a lot of ways, because it's Harrison Ford.
Yeah, but we will hope
he did staple a hat to his head.
I think he was pretending he stapled a hat to his head.
Still.
Okay.
Done it.
But it really means a lot when we hear from you, and we will write you back.
It does, yes, yes, yes.
I think that's everything. I'm kind of sad that this is the end of the year and we're done with the 80s.
Now it's just the 90s, the 2000s, and then everything else Harrison Ford does.
Oh my God. check us out. There's a really great article that I posted or reposted to Tumblr in which Harrison Ford talks about being called Peaches. So I think that's a little teaser to go online and listen to us.
Peaches.
Kevin Baker, Kenny Baker's son, tells a story that he and his brother used to go play with the Millennium Falcon. And they always wanted to turn the lights on, but they wouldn't let them. And Harrison Ford would be like, next time, kid, next time, kid. And finally, one time, he was like, all right, you can do it, and let them put all the lights on. But apparently, he wasn't able to say Harrison.
Yeah.
So Harrison said, it's okay, kid, call me Peaches. Which should probably be the name of an episode at some point.
It's okay, kid. Call me Peaches.
Yeah. Although I have found, we're going to be doing 75 years of Harrison Ford for a special, and Ryan Gosling
is going to be our guest.
Yes, he is. He's going to be our guest. But he talked about working with Harrison Ford and that sometimes you shouldn't really meet your idol because it's you know, disappointing. He's like, unless it's Harrison Ford, because he's a cool motherfucker. So on that note, I did kind of want to end the year with this really cool quote. Because I never get a chance to say it, which is Harrison talked about his career, which we also sort of mentioned about his personality. Mm-hmm. And he said, I realized early on that success was tied to not giving up. Most people in this business gave up and went on to do other things. If you simply didn't give up, you would outlast the people who came in on the bus with you.
Aw, Harry.
So happy new year. We'll see you in 2017. And don't give up, like Harrison Ford.
Don't give up. And if you guys really want, you can check out that little special we got.
Yeah. I'm excited because I've never seen it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Or just donate to our website. Or obviously the money that you're going to give for listening to the episode will go toward us producing the podcast.
Yep. Again, I will take the pizza.
That's right. We have previously spoken that Rachel will take pizza. I am unfortunately gluten-free for health reasons, so that's...
You can give her, like, special pizza.
Or just, you know...
Money.
Money.
Oh, boy.
I'm Lauren.
And I'm Rachel.
Bye!
Yeah, bye!